hour of prayer,
sweet hour of prayer,
may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shall, while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Let me tell you something right now.
Wanda,
that's beautiful.
Yes.
That was beautiful. I mean, that was, I really appreciate that. Okay, Danny.
Thank Danny for that one.
Thank me for that.
He's the one that forced him into it.
You'll be surprised what people will do if you just ask them.
Hey, Danny.
Yes, sir.
I'm here tonight. You'll have to hunt for me. I just let you know I'm here.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Pray for Chuck. He's done lost his mind. For 13 months, the Israelites have been away from Egypt, most of it camped at Mount Sinai. God's giving instructions for using their new tabernacle, even in everyday issues. Leviticus 19 is where we're at. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. The title of the message is Different. Different. Now, I wanted to come up with something that would be adequately describe this topic of different. And the Lord gave me something, and it just was perfect. So if you look at the screen intently, I'm going to show you something that is different. That is different right there. Different. That's what we're talking about. Different. Verse number 1. Just in the way of review. Verse number 1 of Leviticus 19. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy. Now, we've discussed this term holy in depth a lot. But you can almost accurately cross out the word holy in your Bible and write in different. You could almost cross out the word holy and write indifferent and get what God is saying to us. Ye shall be different, for I, the Lord your God, am, in fact, different. Holy does not mean sinless. God is sinless.
Yeah.
But we can't be sinless.
Right.
God is different from all other gods, from all other people. God is different, and He wants them to be different as well. This verse is a general command. Now God is going to give specific ways for them to obey this specific command, be holy. That explains why many will be repetitions of previous laws. This is something that eluded me for years and years and years. Is why did God say Sabbath here, and then say Sabbath again over here, and say Sabbath again over here? It's as though that the Old Testament in particular is just a jumbled topical mess. It's not the case. It is laid out the way that it's laid out on purpose, and it requires study, and that study will be rewarding once we figure out why it's here in this particular place as well as some other place. Drop down to verse number 18. We left off with 17 last Sunday night, so verse number 18 in Leviticus 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Now, God will say more about this in Deuteronomy 32. So we're going to just hold off on the specifics at this point, which will then be quoted, by the way, in Romans 12, 19, when God ultimately says, vengeance is mine. Okay, he starts out in Leviticus 18 saying, thou shalt not avenge. But he leaves the door open as to how vengeance is going to come. In Deuteronomy, which is then quoted in Romans, God takes ownership of vengeance.
Yeah.
But until he does that, he's saying, don't avenge yourselves. Don't avenge yourselves. Withholding vengeance is different.
Oh, yeah.
Withholding vengeance is different. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself why there are so many lawyers? I'm going to tell you why there's so many lawyers. They make 30% of everything they win. And they don't even win them all. The ones they lose, they don't get paid for. And they still are rich. Why? Oh, we love vengeance. We love justice. Justice. We demand justice. It's our right. God said, Israel, don't avenge yourselves. Don't avenge yourselves. Withholding vengeance is different. And notice this, even in church. And that's so sad. That is so sad. If there's one thing Jesus taught us, is to forgive.
Yeah.
Let it go. Let it go. In church, that ought to be the one place where you can count on it. Guess what? Not the case. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Even though this is not in the Ten Commandments, and check, it's not there. This is the first place that it's written in Scripture. This is not one of the Ten Commandments. Jesus said it is the second greatest commandment. Wade, thank you for reading that earlier when Jesus said that. This verse is quoted in Matthew 5:43. In Matthew 19:19, in Matthew 22:39, in Mark 12:31 and 33, in Luke 10:27, in Romans 13:9, let's shrink it down to have more room up there, Galatians 5:14, and also in James 2:8. Guess what? It's part of our covenant as well.
Amen.
Seven times as much. Paul and James both said that this is the heart of the entire law.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Remembering that love is an action, we see that in 1 Corinthians 13, not a feeling.
Amen.
You cannot make yourself like somebody. Let me tell you something. The harder you try, the more you're going to dislike them. We don't have to like anybody. God never asked us to like anybody. Thank you, God. I couldn't do it. We can be kind. We can be patient. We can be gentle. We can be long-suffering. As 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is something that we do. Remembering that love is an action, this is the primary way we show who we are. And when I say that word we, I mean them, Israel in the Old Covenant, and us in the New Covenant. Both covenants. This is the primary way that we show who we are. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. I'm going to ask you to raise hands. I'm going to ask you, be honest. How many of you have been around a Christian that did not show love? Raise your hand. This right here is why people leave church. This is why people leave church. Because we don't show that we're really Christians. We don't. This is the one place you ought to be able to count on it. You ought to be able to count on it. You know why we don't get it? Because we don't give it. We are so focused on how they don't show me love, and they don't show me love, and they don't show me love. I'm not going to show them love. That's where the problem's at.
Yeah, amen.
We have to decide we're going to love them because Jesus said do it.
Right.
We're just going to do it. Verse 19, ye shall keep my statutes, also means laws. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind or a different kind. Now, science was developing. All right, we're talking about 4,000 years ago. Science was developing. Other cultures, not knowing that God limited reproduction to kinds, which God revealed to Israel through Moses, as Moses was writing the book of Genesis, which was right about the same time frame. Other cultures, not knowing that God limited reproduction to specific kinds or species, experimented trying to create stronger species. If a horse and a donkey could create a mule, And mules are pretty good animals. So I hear. Never tasted one, but I hear they're good. If a horse and a donkey could create a mule, what about a horse and a camel? Why would you even try? It don't work. You're talking 4,000 years ago, and I guarantee you they tried. Israel was not to even try. Don't even bother trying. That made them stand out because even their science was different than the cultures around them. He goes on to say, thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed, or two different types of seed, such as corn and such as wheat. Now, I'm not up on farming, so I'm not going to really go into this, but I'm sure some of you farmers can explain what's going on here. He goes on to say, neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. Two different types of materials. You don't wear them. There's lots of debate concerning these two. Lots of debate. Trust me, go on the internet, you'll find lots of debate over everything. But the only clear purpose I can come up with on this is distinction. That's the only clear purpose. There's a lot of people that say, well, if you do this, you do this, you do this. To me, it's just a whole bunch of speculation. But it stood out like a sore thumb to other cultures. Why don't you do that? Well, our God says don't do that. Really? Who is your God? I never heard of a God that said anything like that. Well, let me tell you about Him. By the way, why don't we do that? Don't answer. Don't answer. Don't you answer. Because that's in the Bible, folks. How many of you got gardens? Raise your hand. Be honest. Be honest. Come on. You got two different types of seeds in that garden? Be careful. God will get you. How many people, your clothes are all one type of material tonight? You know for a fact that it is. No question. All one type of material. Raise your hand. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Be careful. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Be careful about insisting somebody do something that's in the Bible, because you may not understand what it says. And tonight we're going to get into some stuff. In fact, I predict that some of y'all are going to get mad at me tonight. And you know what? I think it's funny. Our answer to that question applies to every command of the Old Testament. Every single command of the Old Testament is answered by that same answer. Problem is, Christians don't do that. They got an answer for this command. They got an answer for this command. They got an answer for this command. Even preachers. It's going to get fun here tonight. You're going to love this next one. You're going to love it. And again, this is Bible. In fact, look down at your Bible just so you know for a fact what I'm putting on the screen is really in your Bible. Okay? Whosoever lieth carnally with a woman, which is a sexual relationship. Okay? That is a bondmaid. That's a slave. He didn't say it's wrong to have slaves. He says if you have a relationship with a slave. Betrothed to a husband. So she is engaged to someone else. Ooh, getting juicy. Going to get better. And not at all redeemed. She's not purchased. No freedom here purchased. Nor freedom given to her. She hasn't been given freedom. So her freedom is clearly not a potential possibility. She is not free. She's 100% unquestionably a slave. She shall be scourged. Doesn't say they. Says she shall be scourged. She is punished. Yes, that's in your Bible. That's in your Bible. They shall not be put to death like other adulterers. We're going to see this a little bit later on. Because she was not free. Y'all see that in your Bible? You see that there? Yeah, that's there. It's there. It means exactly what it says. Continuing on verse 21. And he, this is the guy who was the guy. He shall bring his trespass offering. Remember what a trespass offering was? It was a sin offering plus a penalty. He shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him. Remember, atonement means covering. With the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. Regardless of how hard this verse is to swallow, it's very distinct from other nations, and that's why we have to study the Bible. Why did God say this? Other nations practiced religious prostitution. Religious prostitution generating tremendous revenue. We're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. Verse 23. And when he shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food. You have trees out there. Orange trees. You ever seen an orange tree? Yeah, you know what orange trees are, right? Okay. You planted all manner of trees for food. Then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised or not yours. Not yours. Don't belong to you. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. Let all of it fall to the ground for 3 years. I'm not going to ask you if you do that or not. It's in the Bible. Verse 24. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal. So give it all to God via the priests. Now I know you don't do this because I'm preacher's kid. And I ain't seen no bags of fruit coming around saying, hey, this is my fourth year produce. Y'all ain't doing the Bible, huh? 25. In the fifth year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. In the fifth year, you can actually have some. How many of y'all do that? Be honest. Raise your hand. God's going to get you. Breaking the Bible. Breaking the Bible. That's different. And that's what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be different. I notice those trees that you planted, you just let the fruit drop to the ground. Why? God said so. You're kidding me. That's money. That's food. God said so. How long? 3 years. In the fourth year, you got to give to Him. All of it? Him? You know how much money He makes already? You're kidding me. That's what my God says to do. Oh, what else does your God say? Well, let me tell you. This conversation is why all of this was put into place. All of it. To show a distinction. That's the only reason. Be holy. Be different. Again, why don't we keep this command? It's in the Bible. Whatever answer you get for this verse, you got to get for all the other Old Testament verses. It's the same covenant. 26. You shall not eat anything with the blood. Neither shall you use enchantment nor observe times. Now all this goes back to what I said about eating blood to produce spiritual favor in chapter 17. He's simply repeating it in the context of being different. In the context of being different. Understanding other cultures, that's what they did. Why? They wanted to get spiritual benefits. They wanted those fruit trees to produce fruit that they could actually use. God says, don't do none of that. Don't seek the favor of spirits. Don't. Other nations always sought the favor of spirits. Always. By the way, American culture, this is the first time in the history of the world when people rejected all type of religion. We like to say we're Christian, but we have absolutely no interest in proclaiming it at all. None. God is dead. God is dead. You don't believe it? Ask your president. 27. Oh, you're going to love this one. This is great. This is great. Guys, this is for you. Ladies, you're off the hook on this one. This is for the guys. Ye shall not round the corners of your beards, Neither shalt thou mar the corner. Wait, thou shalt not round the corner of your heads. Don't round the corner of your heads. Neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. All right? Now, I can tell you right now, ain't nobody in this room will be in this command. Not one of us. I'll put you a picture up of what he's talking about. You ever seen that? This verse is why they do that. This one verse is why they do that. You know what? It's different. And everybody recognizes it. That's different. Why do they do that? This one verse. God said, you know what? I'm going to make you look weird. Thinks that's the whole point of it. It's the whole point of it. That's a real picture. That's Jewish boys obeying the Jewish law, smoking cigarettes. All right? Looking different and acting different is two different things, and one will totally annihilate the other one. It'll totally annihilate the other one. You think anybody's impressed with their long curly cues? Not at all. Not at all. But hey, they're obeying their Bible. Are they not? Why don't we keep this command? Don't answer out loud. I know some of you are dying to. But just hold on to it. Hold on to it. Like it or not, our answer applies to every command in the Old Testament. Well, I don't believe that, Danny. Show me the dividing line. I challenge anybody. Show me the dividing line. I had a preacher come after me. I'm not going to tell you who it is because he's actually preached in this room. Come after me and said, Danny, I don't believe what you teach about the Old Testament being completely fulfilled. I said, where's the dividing line? Well, he couldn't answer it. You're telling me God is so vague that He can't clearly tell me which verse I'm supposed to obey, which verse I'm not supposed to obey? Let me tell you something. Hebrews makes it very, very, very clear. Galatians makes it very, very, very clear. Old covenant, new covenant. Period. Cross the board. Old covenant, new covenant. Amen. We don't get to pick and choose. We don't. Oh, you're going to love me for this one. I've been eager for this one for about 2 years. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Anybody do that one? Well, good. We're good. We're good. Nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Ooh, I got some smiles now. He's going to talk about tattoos. Juicy, juicy, juicy. This is where we get no tattoos. This is the only place we get no tattoos. This verse and this alone. If this is what God wants from us today, why are sideburns so short? Come on now. You're going to say the Bible says no tattoos. You better grow some curly cues because it's the very previous verse. Oh, well, that one's not for us. This one's for us. That's not from us. Give me a little bit of authority beside your opinion. Let me tell you why people can say that. Because they don't want tattoos. But you know what? The curly cues, that's kind of weird. Well, that's not for us. Who gave anybody the authority to make that assumption? Nobody. Oh, some of you are mad at me right now. You know what? I'm not done. I have a tattoo. Yes, I do. I did it knowing exactly what I was doing. I thought about it. I prayed about it. And there it is, right there. There's a nice big picture of it right there. That is my tattoo. Okay, why did I get that tattoo? I'm going to tell you exactly why I got that tattoo. Okay? My wedding ring was too easy to get off, and that's the God's honest truth. That is the God's honest truth. My wedding ring was too easy to get off. That right there, to get that off, is going to hurt badly. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt badly. I made a statement to my wife when I got that tattoo. I intend to stick with you until I die. Now, some of y'all know this, some of y'all don't. My wife irritates the mess out of me. And every single day, this tattoo reminds me she ain't going anywhere. Which is exactly why I got it. It's exactly why I got it. If you don't know, if you don't know that you know that you know you want this thing on you for the rest of your life, I do not recommend it. Now, I'm going to do something now. It may get me in trouble, but I'm used to it. I'm more comfortable when I'm in trouble. Being honest, is there anyone in this room, you have a tattoo you wish you'd have never got? Raised your hand. Teenagers, look around. Tattoos are something that I do not recommend. But I will not lie to you and say the Bible's against it. Because nowhere in the New Testament does it say anything about tattoos. It's not there. It's not there. Now, if, I got it, if you want to enforce the no tattoo rule, you better be ready to do the curlicue. It's the verse right before it. It's the verse right before it. Think back to the style of clothes we used to wear. Okay? I grew up in the disco years of the 70s. And I thought John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever was the best dressed man that ever lived. White suit, collar hanging. I thought that's never going to go out of style. You know what? You couldn't buy that suit today if you gave him $1 million because ain't nobody wants to wear that stuff. Imagine the clothes we used to wear and then stopped wearing because they went out of style. Now imagine we have to wear them because they won't come off. That's what it's like to have a tattoo. That's what it's like to have a tattoo. If you don't know that you know that you know that you know you want it forever and ever and ever, do not do it. You will regret it and it will hurt to get it off. By the way, you want to make some money? Zach, you want to make some money? Learn how to remove tattoos. That's going to be a huge industry in the next 10 years. People are getting tattoos like crazy, and they can come off, and you got to pay for it. But people will want these things removed. Continuing on, if you're still listening, continuing on. By the way, Ramona told me that if she ever got a tattoo, it'd be somewhere where you couldn't see it, so you're never going to know. Never going to know. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Dur. Dur. Does anybody have to be told that? Other nations practiced religious prostitution. Other nations practiced religious prostitution. I'm going to put that up there small. What I'm going to say to you now is going to be disturbing. It is true. You can check it out. Okay. I have made it so that it's not going to be offensive. It's going to be something. You got to understand what some of the words mean in order for you to actually realize what I'm saying. But what I'm giving you is going to be disturbing, but it's true. 5th century B.C. historian Herodotus. 5th century B.C., 500 years before Christ. Herodotus wrote this. The foulest Babylonian custom is that which compels every woman of the land, every woman of the land, to sit in the temple of Aphrodite and have relations with some stranger at least once in her life. There is a great multitude of women coming and going, passages marked by line. Imagine Disney, a queue line at Disney. Run every way through the crowd, by which the men pass and make their choice. Once a woman has taken her place there, she does not go away to her home before some stranger has cast money into her lap and had relations with her outside the temple in public view. But while he casts the money, he must say, I invite you in the name of Melita, which is the Assyrian name for Aphrodite. It does not matter what the sum of money is. The woman will never refuse, for that would be a sin. The money being by this act made sacred. So she follows the first man who casts it and rejects no one. After their relations, having discharged her sacred duty to the goddess, she goes away to her home, and thereafter there is no bribe, however great, that will get her. She'll never do it again. So then the women that are fair and tall are soon free to depart. This is going to turn your stomach. But the uncomely have long to wait, because they cannot fulfill the law. For some of them remain for 3 years or four. Imagine the humiliation. This is what other religions practiced in those days. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Already stated several times, this clearly shows distinction, especially from a religious brothel. Makes a whole different meaning, don't it? Whole different meaning. God says, be different. Be different. 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. The literal Hebrew means bottle, referring to those who possess spirits, demons. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Don't be afraid of them, is what he's saying here. Don't be afraid of them. Now, we've got psychics and all that kind of stuff today. All of them have proved to be false and fake and that sort of stuff. Not a big deal today. But in those days, if you could come up with some information that nobody else would know about you, you became powerful. There's several stories about it in Scripture, about how these mediums became extremely powerful and influential. Moses, God is saying through Moses, don't even be afraid of them. Ignore them. Even if they know something they couldn't possibly know elsewhere, God is bigger than they are. Right. Just ignore them. Just ignore them. Don't fear them. God is absolutely more powerful. Now, that does not give us permission to go play with them. Okay, read the book of Jude when it comes to that. We don't mess with demonic spirits. Just leave them alone. You don't be afraid of them, but you don't engage them either. Period. 32. Thou shalt rise up or stand before the hoary or gray head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Not just hold the door for them, which very few people do anymore, but actually stand in their presence. And I'm asking you, why are you not doing it right now? It's the Bible. It's the Bible. Still nobody standing. See how we pick and choose? If you're going to insist on somebody obeying this verse in Leviticus, you better be ready to obey this one here yourself. Still nobody standing. Do I got to drag you up? Lord, they won't stand. It's in the Bible, but they won't stand. 33. If a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him or trouble him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be to you as one born among you. He comes in as a visitor, you treat him like he's your brother. And thou shalt love him as thyself, a foreigner. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This was already commanded in Exodus 22, verse 21. But in context, God is making a point. Be different. What did other nations do? They tried to get your money. And what do we do when the snowbirds come down here? We try to get their money. That's just all. We want their money. Once we got their money, we want them to go home. Welcome to Florida. Now go home. That's Amen. Okay. Go on home. That's God said. No. You welcome them. You treat them like they've always lived here. Now why don't we do this one? It's in the Bible. But you're mad at me because I got a tattoo. You see the hypocrisy in here? Don't take advantage of people, is what he tells them. Them. 35, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, or justice is what that word means, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. All three of those is talking about specific, exact measurements of whatever you're dealing with. Just balances, just weight, a just ephah. How many of you do a just ephah? Raise your hand. Now, come on, it's in the Bible. Well, you do just balances though, right? You do just, how do you do just balances? Nobody does just balances. You're all scared to death to raise your hand, and you should be. You should be. Danny studied this stuff. A just ephah, that's the common dry goods measurement. And a just hen. You do a just hen? Not a Benny hen, a just hen, all right? That's the common liquid measurement. The common liquid measurement. Shall ye have? I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Again, it's amazing to me the people that will insist on everybody obeying this one verse, but two verses later, oh, you got to do that one. That ain't for us. Says who? Says who? Hebrews, Galatians makes it clear what we are to obey and what has been fulfilled. This has all been fulfilled. Therefore, shall ye observe my statutes, my laws, my judgments, or justice, and do them, I am the Lord. This section of law, this whole chapter we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, was intended to produce holiness, making them different. That's the whole point. That's why some of them were repetitions, some of them were brand new. But the whole point, these are all ways for you to be different. Why? So you stand out. Why? So people will say, why do you do that weird, crazy, nutty stuff? Well, God said so. Well, tell me about that, God. It was intended to produce opportunities to tell others why they were different. Sadly, it mostly produced pride. I'm not going to ask how many of you are glad you ain't got no tattoos. But I guarantee you some of you, I ain't never had no tattoo. I could have. Almost did. I didn't do it. I would never do that. I would never do that. Under the New Covenant, Testament, Agreement, as we've talked about tons and tons and tons of times, Jesus asks us to live different. Like He did. Especially at the cross. When Jesus was arrested, did He resist? Yes or no?
No.
No. Would we? Probably. Yeah. Probably. When Jesus was spit on, did He get angry? Yes or no?
No.
Would we?
Yeah.
Probably. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, did they have to fight Him? Yes or no?
No.
Would we?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
We've got enough ways to show that we're different, and we fail at all of them.
Yes, we do.
If you don't have a tattoo, I'm happy for you, but you know what? It doesn't mean a thing. Not in our society. It doesn't mean a thing. But you know what? I've had lots of opportunities to tell people about what marriage means because of my tattoo. And I'm glad I got it. And I would not ever, 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 ever wish I didn't have it. Because I knew what I was doing. But again, if you don't know that you know that you know that you want this thing on you for the rest of your life, do not do it because you will regret it. You will. Being different. Living different. Not being weird. Not being nutty. Living like Jesus gives us opportunities to tell others why we are different. How are we doing?
In depth.